weekend all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. Two Nigerian players have been nominated for a big award in the top French league. Victor Osimhen of Lille and Moses Simon of Nantes are up for the award, which is named in honor of the late Cameroonian player Marc Vivien Foe. The award is presented annually to the best player who represents an African national team in France's Ligue 1. For reaction to the nominations, Iron Mike Mbonye called Johannesburg, South Africa, where he reached African football analyst Emeka Enyadike.
Yes, the nomination of Victor Osimhen and Moses Simon by the various clubs shows the impressive performance of both players. But above all, it's also a sign of the quality of the Nigerian players that are playing in Europe. There's a great deal of talented young Nigerian players. A lot of them are already in the Super Eagles and quite a lot more yet to be called up. And there's a groundswell of players who were born in Europe to Nigerian parents who have made such an impressive assemblage of players for who are potentially future Super Eagles players. So this is a very, very good sign.
What should be done to discover more talents like Victor Osimhen, Simon Moses, and Samuel Chukwueze?
So in terms of what needs to be done to identify or discover new talent, it's just happening. This is one of those eras, probably maybe even more than in the 90s, because there's a lot of players. I mean, for instance, at Red Bull Salzburg, recently they won the cup with the American coach Marsh, and they scored 5-0 against Lustina. And two of the goal scorers, now Kafo and Ashimeru, they both have Nigerian parentage and they've never been to Nigeria. So you find that there is just incredible amount of talent out there. The Nigerian handlers need to just go out there, scout them even when they're a lot younger, because then it makes it a lot easier for them to avoid situation where players like David Alaba ended up playing for Austria when, quite frankly, he really wanted to play for Nigeria. And this is a lot of those players out there, and this is happening at a very good pace, and also quite a lot of players emerging out there.
Are there Nigerian-born talents in South Africa that can make the Super Eagles team?
We are in South Africa. We are also seeing quite a lot of this trend. I mean, last December I was involved in one of the camps for young players. There were quite a lot of Nigerian kids as well. We do not have the same kind of number that we have in Europe who are making it into the PSL teams. But in the lower leagues and some of the amateur structures, there are already quite a lot of Nigerian kids who are there. The difference is that some of them end up leaving for Europe or going over to the U.S. And talking about the U.S., there's also a lot of them in the college system, a lot of them in the MLS structures as well. So this is a trend that is born out of the fact that, you know, football or soccer, as they call it in the U.S. and Canada, is pretty much Nigeria's biggest sporting passion. And so you find that all over the world where there are Nigerians, there's a lot of talent emerging. But what is even bigger is the possibility that, you know, in the next 4 to 8 years, there'll be such a wide pool, because a lot of these players are within the ages of 16, 17, all the way to 20. So there's quite a tremendous amount of talent.
That's African football analyst Emeka Enyadike. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, my name is Emeka Enyadike from the City of Gold, Johannesburg. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
New Zealand rugby teams are hoping thousands of fans will return to big games this weekend now that the battle against the coronavirus looks like it's been won, at least for now. The AP's Charles de Ledesma reports.
The decision of the New Zealand government on Monday to drop all restrictions on the size of public gatherings means that social distancing is no longer required and sports can take place in full stadiums. New Zealand has no current cases of COVID-19 and hasn't recorded a new infection in 18 days. The news has prompted the Highlanders team to say they hope 20,000 fans will attend Saturday's game against the Chiefs, while the Auckland-based Blues wants as many as 35,000 to attend Sunday's game against the Hurricanes. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Our energetic Sunnyside sports contributor in London, Andy Edwards, has once more been ruminating as he brews another pot of tea in his kitchen. And Andy wants to discuss what makes Eliud Kipchoge, the Olympic champion and world record holder in the marathon. Sporty greetings from Washington, Andy.
Greetings from London, Sonny. And why do I want to discuss the great Eliud Kipchoge? Well, it's because I think he's the ideal example of why a champion is strong in both mind and body. Over the years in the cause of the Sunnyside of Sports, I've interviewed him, and I've reached the conclusion that the spark, the essence of this man, is not only big physical ability, but the awareness of when to allow the mind to rest and just cruise in a lower gear. You know, sometimes as a journalist, you find yourself asking an obvious question, which has been put many times before, and yet you feel, well, I've got to ask it. I'll give you an example. After his wins in London and the world record in Berlin, we've done interviews, and I felt I've had to ask, can you run even faster, and so on. It can be a bit of a bore, a bit of a yawn, but you feel, well, I've got to put that question. And his answer is always, I'm not thinking about that or any race right now. And we're usually talking the day after the race. And Eliud says, I'm thinking solely about my recovery. And then I shall gradually build for the next challenge. But at present, I don't even think about it at all. I think about just rest. Now, Eliud Kipchoge may not be the only top athlete to follow this approach, but I find the way he expresses it sets him apart. Now listen, for example, to him speaking to me before the London Marathon in 2018, and he talks about the mental aspect and also about the influence of his longtime coach, Patrick Sang.
Mental is really important. They share 50%, 50-50 with the physical. You cannot be physically fit and psychologically poor.
How important is your coach, Patrick Sang? I know you've known each other for many years, so you live close together in the same kind of village. How important is he now, given you're Olympic champion?
He's really very important. He's my life coach and my sports coach.
Andy, there have been other African greats of distance running. I'm thinking, for example, of Abebe Bikila, twice winner of the Olympic marathon. His fellow Ethiopian, Kenenisa Bekele, in modern times. And this great Kenyan runner.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And Andy, let's not forget the man who replaced Paul Tergat as world record holder in the marathon, Haile Gebrselassie. Andy, do you think they also had this ability to distribute their mental and physical energy in the same way?
I think they did, but what strikes me about Eliud Kipchoge is that he's very much the marathoner supreme for the modern era, equipped to cope with the commercial demands as well as the age-old challenge of training and competition. I was struck by reading an interview with Jos Hermans a couple of years ago, his manager and the owner of the global sports management company who guides many of the world's top athletes. Hermans, a former international runner himself for the Netherlands, said that Eliud Kipchoge was distinct from any other top Kenyan he'd worked with. As an example, he said that when they discussed training plans, Eliud would often send him lengthy emails, pages of them, outlining his thoughts. It was definitely not a case of, oh well, thanks for the training schedule, and I'll follow it. In addition, there are the commercial aspects of breaking new ground in athletics. Let's look at the success of the INEOS 159 project last October in Vienna, when Eliud Kipchoge broke 2 hours for the marathon distance. And that came after he went so close on the Monza Formula One circuit in Italy in 2017. Kipchoge and the management team around Jos Hermans are ready to embrace new ideas, new concepts. And here's Eliud talking after winning the London Marathon in 2019, how he sees the approach to the marathon as an event and race changing. And he's at the forefront of these changes.
I can say the future of marathon is going towards the team one. We have started ourselves. I'm among the team for NN running. And I can value team very much. Can train very well. You can go and compete actually in near to your fans. You can meet your fans. But I think my dream is to see that marathon will be a team if and whereby they will be actually announcing the best team, like the way in Formula One they are announcing the constructors team. Like the way in cycling they will be actually competing as far as team is concerned.
The traditional image of the runner is almost, well, it may be different in Kenya, but as a lonely person. In the West, it's someone who, before the running boom, would go out and be running on their own. But the Kenyan, and indeed the Ethiopian approach, is very much a collective team strong point. Do you feel that gives you mental as well as physical strength?
Absolutely. If you come together, that's actually positive for the mind. That I can say is both physical and both mental is actually going together. And and the team plays a big role on that.
That's Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya talking after he won the London Marathon title last year. Now the race in London, like many of the top spring marathons, will be taking place in the autumn. On Sunday, October 4th, Eliud and Kenenisa Bekele should be on the start line in what will be one of the most eagerly awaited distance races of the year. Andy, will the mind be the decisive factor in deciding who emerges victorious in London?
Allowing for the adjustments that both men and their rivals will have had to make because of the postponement and adapting their training schedules and venues because of the pandemic, we are going to see two of the best ever distance runners on the start line in this year's London Marathon. Both have immense physical talent, but the winner is likely to be the one who, as the current World Athletics president and Olympic champion Sebastian Coe once said, most important part is the top 9 inches. That is, it's what's in your head on the day which counts.
Thanks, Andy. That's the energetic Andy Edwards speaking with us once again from London.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather! That's my VOA colleague, Heather Maxwell, the host of our Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. VOA's Adam Phillips has been looking at Frisbee culture in New York City. Now, you might think of Frisbee as a recreational pursuit, but Adam says the flying disc has inspired team sports that are popular all over the world and might one day be included in the Olympics. This evening, Adam tells us about a common way to catch and control the Frisbee.
One basic maneuver that makes today's freestyle possible is called the nail delay. It involves balancing the spinning disc on one's fingernail as it descends in order to control its position. It was discovered quite by accident by legendary freestyle pioneer Kerry Colmar one sunny morning in 1974.
The wind blew up under the disc, and when I went to tap it, it just came to rest on my finger for probably no more than a second or a second and a half. Doing a nail delay takes a pretty good deal of practice, but eventually I got it down pat. And the effect that it had on the game of Frisbee, or the sport of Frisbee, is that it changed the entire realm of possibilities from, you know, two people playing and it just being a throw-catch, to being a lot more aesthetically pleasing to the eye. And, you know, it definitely changed the sport for the better. And I can't claim some huge credit. I mean, it was really just sort of magical gifting that made me be the guy that came up with that.
Kerry went on to become one of the first world Frisbee freestyle champions. 40 plus years later, that honor has been won twice by the dancer and actor Daniel O'Neill. His work was also showcased by Cirque du Soleil at the opening of the 2015 Pan American Games, heard here. Together with Brad Keller, O'Neill co-directs the 2016 Frisbee World Championships. He contrasts New York freestyle with a West Coast approach, especially California's.
The New York style emphasizes consecutivity and flow. In New York, we like to put moves together in a way that there's no disruptions, awkward movements. You catch it. And maybe without even having to change the grip of the disc in your hand, you're able to throw it onto your partner. And it all happens in one fluid motion.
Smooth, elegant.
Exactly.
New York.
Yes. Now, the West Coast has very beautiful beaches. And freestyle frisbee is a great beach sport because if you have a little bit of wind, the disc will float there for you. It'll just stay put. Everything slows down. It's a little bit of a slower game. It also emphasizes flow, but it also emphasizes flight of the disc. And that is to say, brushing it, rolling it, you know, moving out into the wind.
Underneath all the competition and display, there is a spirit of inclusivity, friendliness, and fun in frisbee culture everywhere in the world. Brad Keller says it's rooted both in the hippie ethos that flowered during the 1960s and in the physical way that high-level frisbee is played, where subtlety and finesse are as important as force. Worldwide, freestylers call themselves jamily. It's a term borrowed from jazz jams where musicians play together, each expressing themselves but in happy harmony with the others.
And we all know each other. There are different internet sort of interactions that we do, different blogs, different things that we all keep in touch with, social events, birthdays or births, whatever it is, but we're pretty close. So I can go almost anywhere in the world and I have a jamily there. And it's an incredible community that we're all really grateful to be a part of.
Counterculture Masons or something.
It is very similar to that in a way. I mean, of course, we don't have quite the history, but give us another couple thousand years, I guess, we'll be there.
Frisbee's the game I keep away.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is VOA's Adam Phillips reporting in New York.
Frisbee's the way to lots of fun at the park or beach or pig.
Thanks, Adam. Your Frisbee report was high-flying for sure. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With some European football matches underway and others getting set to resume, soccer's international governing body, FIFA, is calling for financial reform. VOA's Gwen Uten has more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Football's three-month hiatus due to the COVID-19 pandemic has left many soccer clubs in financial straits. But in a recent address to member associations, FIFA President Gianni Infantino said a relief plan to offset the financial fallout is in the final stage of preparation and would benefit all of football.
We are developing a system which is manageable, but also needs-based. We want the financial relief plan to have a broad reach that includes women's football and that operates in a modern, efficient and transparent way. This means having a robust governance structure, which also ensures accountability on how the financial sums will be allocated.
Infantino is an advocate for clearer, stricter financial regulations and has called for a cap on salary and transfer fees, along with a possible contribution to a reserve fund that would assist clubs during a crisis in the future. Infantino said the current crisis offers the opportunity for financial reform and said aid would be available to men and women on all levels of the game.
The need for top club football to resume has understandably taken priority. But we must also consider national teams, women's football, lower-tier domestic leagues, youth and the grassroots game. We have to show unity across all aspects of football and make sure football can resume in its globality. This is our priority, and our financial relief plan will also follow this principle.
The FIFA president is in consultations with different stakeholders to achieve a more balanced international match calendar, and he says progress is being made. The football season is underway or set to resume in several countries, with Spain's top-level La Liga returning to action this week. Infantino says the restart offers a glimmer of hope for the future, but fans must be patient during the season's gradual reopening.
We also have to understand and respect different decisions, especially from those amongst us who still need more time to be sure that the restart can be done in a way that is safe for everyone. Tolerance and understanding are important, especially these days.
And he reiterated the health of both players and spectators remains a top priority.
You've seen the medical recommendations we issued last week to support a roadmap for the restart of competitions, which always keep in mind the most important principle. Health comes first. Also, the possibility you have now to opt for 5 substitutions has the same purpose. Protect the health, in this case, of our players. We need to maintain public health as the priority, while not forgetting the well-being of players, officials, and everyone who participates in any football activity.
Infantino has urged member associations to, quote, offer their full support and commitment to move to the next level of good governance in football globally. Meanwhile, England's Premier League and Italy's Serie A are preparing to restart their seasons within the next 2 weeks. Germany's Bundesliga has been back in action for almost a month, with La Liga the second major European league to return to the pitch. The league is set to kick off their resumed season on Thursday with a match between Sevilla and Real Betis that will be played behind closed doors. La Liga has confirmed virtual fans and fake crowd noise will be part of its live broadcast. The league hopes the new innovations will bear a resemblance to the look and feel of matches before the season was postponed. And in a rush to pack 110 games into the next 5.5 weeks, La Liga plans to play every day until mid-July. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And this programming note, another VOA colleague, Jason Patinkin, will be hosting the Sunny Side of Sports on Thursday and Friday. And And that wraps up the June 10th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this
music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.